The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God. When you hear the word tolerant, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Is it something that we look at other people not having? Or is it something that we could use more in our life so we can become more tolerant? Being tolerant is not something that we should take lightly by thinking we must always just put up with someone else's opinions, actions, because we don't want to hurt their feelings. This word tolerant means inclined to tolerate the beliefs, practices, or traits of others. A second definition to this is able to withstand or endure in adverse environmental conditions. As God's people, we need to learn and know when to be tolerant and when to be intolerant. Knowing when to be unwilling to tolerate differences in opinions, practices, and beliefs of others. To begin our study on this topic, we must first have to gather information so we can learn by. So if you would, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9. And we'll begin in verse 9. It says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." See, whatever information or instruction we receive in our life, we will have to make a decision on whether or not we are going to use it. And if we're tolerant in the learning that we're hearing about, we will incline to that instruction for the potential to reap the benefits from it. See, this phrase, "give instruction to a wise man," it literally means to give to the wise and he will be wise. See, instruction does not do any good for us if we are not willing to put the principles of what we've learned together. So there must be something else that comes first, something that we can do before we can understand. And that's found in verse 10, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." And it's through God's Holy Spirit that shows us what true understanding is, and to know what the will of God is. And from His instruction, we are learning how to receive the proper knowledge and how to have the right perception in our life and knowing how to use it correctly. We know through the Scriptures that if we lack wisdom, we can also go to God and ask Him for it. But have you ever asked God for the wisdom in knowing how to be tolerant or not? Well, turn with me to James chapter 1. In the book of James, chapter 1, a verse we're all familiar with, picking up in verse 5. James 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it to all men liberally and abradeth not," or without reproach, "and it shall be given to him." See, this word lack is a primary verb, to leave or to fail or to be absent from, to be destitute or in need of, and it's wanting. So, if we're lacking wisdom, we go to God and we ask it. James also tells us in verse 4 of this chapter that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We need to know and learn how to be tolerant and intolerant in certain circumstances and situations that God places us in, so we can learn how to develop God's perfect nature, His perfect way of life. So what is one of the reasons or one of the ways that God shows us how to endure? It's when we fall into various temptations and we count it all joy. That's one way we can learn. See, we're either going to withstand and endure the adverse physical or mental conditions that we are put in, or we are going to give up and be unable, unwilling to endure or support what is right in the eyes of God. So when we ask for wisdom, does it always come our way? Is it always granted to us? Well, continuing in verse 6, it says, "Let him ask in faith, not wavering or doubting. For he that wavers or doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." So we're not supposed to have any doubt when asking for this wisdom concerning the truth and the fundamentals of God's principles when we ask for His wisdom. For this remaining time, I'd like to show two principles on how Jesus Christ was tolerant or intolerant when dealing with mankind. The first one is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 9. There are many others, but I just picked two. In Matthew chapter 9, this is the story where Jesus sits down with the publicans and sinners. And we can read, and picking up in verse 10. In Matthew chapter 9. In verse 10 it says, "And it come to pass, as Jesus sat to meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." See, Jesus Christ was tolerant to what the Pharisees had to say to him about being with those who were sinners. We do the same thing on a day-to-day basis with those that we come in contact with in our life that God has not called at this time. See, the example that we set for them is to be a godly nature, a godly example that God and Jesus Christ have set for us. We're also to be tolerant in their actions because they don't know or they don't understand what they do. But this phrase, "they that need not a physician," which is saying sick people are the ones who need a doctor. And it's the aid of the doctor who is around those sick people. But if they're in good health, there's no need for a doctor. So the doctor's place is among the sick. Well, brethren, Jesus Christ is our ultimate healer, our doctor. And we need Jesus Christ in our life because the world is sick and full of sin. It's all around us. And we need healing, His healing, so we can be cleansed from all sins and made whole, being pure in the presence of God. See, as we learned this example, we can see that the Pharisees thought that they were already pure and holy because of how they lived according to their traditions in keeping the law of God. But God wasn't pleased with them. So what did Jesus continue to say? In verse 13 it says, "But you go and learn what that meant. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." See, we must learn and understand the principle of God's way to be able to please Him and to be called His children. Let's look at another example where Jesus was intolerant. It's found in the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. This is a story where Jesus threw out the merchants from the temple. In Mark, chapter 11, and verse 15. It says, "And they came to Jerusalem and entered into the temple. Jesus began to cast out those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow any to carry a vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer to all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves." See, what was their motive? What was these people's motive to buy and sell merchandise in the temple of God? Well, undoubtedly, those businessmen in the temple professed to be helping worshipers by making objects of sacrifice available. But Jesus recognized what their real motive was. It was for their own, their greed and their profit. See, when we come before God, brethren, and we meet together in His place of worship, what is our attitude? What are our intentions? See, can we become like those who we just read about, thinking that we're doing something good, but in reality, we're doing God a disservice? See, we have just looked at two examples. As I said, there are many more on how Jesus was tolerant and intolerant over the service of mankind. And he left these examples for us to follow. We too must know when to be tolerant with people and when to be intolerant when it comes to the world's affairs. So I have a question. How should we react when we deal with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, another example that Jesus left us with is how to deal with others who may have the same mind, but not the same fellowship. It's found in the book of Mark, chapter 9. Turn with me there in Mark, chapter 9. The story is where the disciples see someone else doing the work of God, but they do not recognize them as being part of their fellowship. And we can consider the fellowship as a group of people among themselves or within their own group. But in Mark chapter 9, picking up in verse 38, it says, "And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed us not. And we tried to stop him, because he does not follow us." See, this person that they are talking about was doing the same type of work that the disciples were doing. So who was this person? Could it have been one of the followers of John the Baptist and did not associate or know the disciples of Jesus Christ were? See, the disciples of Jesus wanted to forbid him from doing a good work. This one person did not follow what they believed was to be correct. See, they wanted to be intolerant towards him, and their viewpoint opposed to the inclusion of participation to those who differed from themselves. And because of their lack of understanding, they chose and were unable and unwilling to endure to support his actions. See, how often is the same temperament found in us? How we can believe we are correct in our understanding, but yet we can also be completely wrong. As verse 39 says, "But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me." See, whether or not we may understand, we need to just let them go on quietly in the work which God may have inspired them to do. If they were not of God, would the demons not be subject to them? Would their work not prosper? See, when you look at the church at large, is not the same message being preached? It might be in different variations from time to time, but aren't the core doctrines the same? See, the lesson that we can learn from this principle is there are always going to be those who are going to be outraged and dedicated to their own creed, their own conduct, and their own views. Maybe they may not see it this way, but their actions show that they would rather let sinners perish because they did not come to them, but went to others, than to be tolerant to those who differed from their policies. See, God is working out his plan through his people. And we need to understand that we are to be good stewards of the word of God, not just in word, but also in our actions, allowing God to use us to be the instruments of their salvation. See, even the good that is done by others, they want to either deny or suspect wrongness because that person does not follow their creed, their religious views. They want to oust them from being no good. And for doing that, they believe that they do God's service, when in reality, they show him a form of vanity and sin. As verse 40 says, as we continue, "For he that is not against us is for us." Brethren, we need wisdom to understand, to know how to rightly divide the word of God, learning how to be tolerant to our brother, which is something we must all learn to do. But also, there are times when we need to not be afraid to be intolerant when it comes to sin in the body of Jesus Christ. We need to have the desire to serve God with all of our being and not give in to selfish desires or thoughts of vanity which seeks out and separates and destroys our brother. One final thought I would like to leave. It's in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing part of soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." May we learn how to discern correctly in our life, knowing how and when to be tolerant or not, so we can please God and be part of His family forever. For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.